Friends, grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, I have to start this morning by addressing the elephant that's in the room. It's Mother's Day! For those whom it applies, wherever you are, happy Mother's Day. Thank you for loving and caring for your families, big or small. If you didn't know, it was by presidential decree way back in 1914 that Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May to be the day that we stop and celebrate our moms. It's the day Dad burn all the pancakes, by the way. It's a day to honor motherhood and the contribution that these ladies have had in our lives. So today, nationwide, we offer our thanks and our admiration. You know, it's been said that your mother is likely the person who has done more for you than anyone else in the world. So, of course, we owe her our love and thanks. Okay, it's not a recognized religious festival day. There's no special readings or hymns dedicated to this in our hymnal. Yet we all know that God uses mothers to teach and instill faith in us. And from little on, they teach us to give thanks before meals, to say our prayers before bed. They make sure we have clean clothes to wear to church, a few bits of coin in our pocket for the Sunday school offering, and that we don't act like heathens during the service. Moms make a difference. They nurture, they support, they lift us up even when no one else will. And they correct us when we need correcting. I don't know about you, but my mother's voice still rings loud in my ears, reminding me to keep my shoes tied, my elbows off the table, and my finger out of my nose. I can remember driving to church in the old family Pontiac, my mother up front with her pillbox leopard skin hat, leaning over the back seat to offer us a piece of juicy fruit, or to wipe our faces with that special mom solvent they have. And to slap our knees every once in a while, because driving to church is serious business. And once we got to church, I remember a time or two being drug out of the place just so my backside could meet the backside of her hairbrush. That I don't like to remember. Praise be to God for our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts, all the ladies in our lives who've had some role in keeping us on the straight and narrow, regardless if they were our biological moms, our stepmoms, our adopted moms, regardless if they were teachers or friends of the family, any woman who had a role in our upbringing, today we give them thanks and say, God bless you. Amen. You know, I don't think moms have changed much through the years. Most still care more about their offspring than they do themselves. They still sacrifice for the betterment of their family. They still slap knees and make sure kids are ready for bed on time and that we say our prayers. For the most part, they do it with a smile and a song of praise in their heart and with Jesus in their eyes. Today's epistle reading is part of the Apostle Peter's letter to some of the early churches. And these congregations formed a few decades after the resurrection, the result of missionary work of the disciples, and of course, guidance of the Holy Spirit. Peter doesn't mention moms in this message, but he does talk about how in the midst of trial and suffering, people are often tempted to feel self-pity and despair. Moms or dads or any of us may feel tempted to fall away from faith when the going gets rough. But Peter says we are called into Christ to do something greater than ourselves, so we must endure with strength for eternal life. Peter, in his letter, reminds us that we are blessed by God redeemed and forgiven through the works and suffering of his Son on the cross. It's through his suffering we have peace. Through his baptism, we are baptized. Through his death, we die. And through his resurrection, we too are resurrected. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is our one and only assurance. It is the one true path to eternal life. Peter tells us that our suffering in life can be a blessing, because through suffering, our faith is built up. Through suffering, faith is strengthened and magnified. Sometimes it's for our own benefit, to correct or chide us, or to pull us back into the fold after straying off course. But sometimes our suffering is for the benefit of others. For if we remain strong through life's challenges, others see our strength and sense our peace, the Lord's peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And through our witness and perseverance, others may see our challenges, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, eventually come to share in the blessings offered to us by the Lord. What a fitting message on Mother's Day, and a curious connection to most moms and the lives they lead for their children. I think most of us would agree that most moms suffer for their kids. They give their time, their energy, their sleep, even their own bodies to bring up their children. So don't worry, Mom. Peter says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. The vocation of motherhood is a saintly role designed by and blessed by God. In our lives, when we experience suffering, we as good students of Scripture often turn to Job and his experience with suffering. It's through learning about his trial so long ago that the Lord impacts the lives of everyone who reads his story. Job, you know, suffered horribly. He experienced personal suffering, pain, and illness, suffering from the loss of his family, his home, his lands, his livelihood. And though his faith wavered, he never gave up. Though he was greatly depressed, when he begged for relief, he always believed that the Lord was in control and working things out for good. But there was one low point when Job cried out, "Oh, why did I not die at birth? Why did I come out of my mother's womb and not die? Why did my mother's knees receive me, or her breasts nurse me? For without, I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept, and I would have been at rest." In other words, why was I ever even born if all I had to look forward to was this sorry life? Then the Lord answers Job out of a whirlwind. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, Job? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Who laid its cornerstones? Who hung the stars? Who shut in the sea?" The Lord was chiding Job and saying, "Do you think that you have understanding of what is really going on? Do you think I don't see you or care? Do you not think this is part of my big plan? What you don't know or understand, Job, is how millions, even billions of lives will be impacted by your experience. And now how many, because of your faithfulness and strength, will find their own. Your suffering will inspire people during their own struggles." God's might and plan are beyond our understanding. His ways are far greater than ours. We have no way of understanding or defining or connecting them in our lives to the big picture. All we know is that He is our Creator, our God. He is our past, our present, and our future. And we have no way to repay Him for all He has provided. So all we can do is honor and praise Him. All we can do is follow and adore Him and tell others about Him. We too have no way of understanding how all the components of our lives, the good times and the bad times, fit into His plan. But we do know that He is working all things for good. It's easy to say this on a Sunday morning, standing up here. Maybe it's even easy to hear in your pew and to nod your head in agreement. Yes, Pastor. It's not always so easy in life to face difficult times, is it? To face the hardship head on. To see how God is working for good, especially when you're in pain, or when a loved one is suffering, or when life events turn your world upside down. We, like Job, struggle in life. We always have, and we always will. We, like the congregations Peter addressed, can feel left out, forgotten, separated from all that is holy. It's hard to see the forest for the trees, as they say. It's hard to see that good can come when suffering is now. But dear friends, never forget. Never lose faith or knowing that even during the times of trial and uncertainty, the Holy Spirit uses you and your response to impact and guide others. Therefore, as Peter says, have no fear, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason that you have so much hope and trust and faith in a Lord you cannot see. Christ suffered for our sins. He suffered for the righteous and the unrighteous. He suffered that He might bring all people to salvation. He suffered and was put to death in the flesh that we may be made alive in the Spirit. He suffered and died, and so shall we. Yet in Him there is hope. For death is not the end. It was not the end of Him, and it will not be the end of you. The very Son of God rose from death. So all that believe, so that all who repent, so that all who follow Him will rise again as well. I close with these words from St. Paul, his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, Paul said, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. You see, I can do all things through Him that strengthens me. So moms, dads, all children of God, be steadfast during times of trial. Endure. Find strength in God's promise and continual hope and faith in the words and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds forever focused on Christ our Lord. Amen.